Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Give me your arm.
No.
Mostly.
Wow. You know, I knew this would happen eventually in the podcast. I didn't think it would be so soon in the 70s. Mm. But there comes a little time in every horror movie reviewers podcast life.
Every bad movie reviewers podcast, I suppose.
Yeah. When you have to just admit that you liked a movie.
That you liked it.
I know. And I know it'll happen again. But oh, yeah. It happened today.
It happened. Finally.
Yes. Finally. And only.
It kind of already did happen with Wonder Women. Because we did like it.
We did, but I didn't enjoy it as much as this one,
but
actually.
But I think this one's the better movie.
I would agree. This is probably the best movie we've watched so far.
Shocking.
Which is...
shocking.
It's interesting to say that. Because yeah. I didn't think we'd ever get to, like, a... where I actually have to recommend something.
Especially not... well, I know you did not think this was going to be a recommendation one.
No, I did not, actually.
I didn't
not
either.
At all.
I knew nothing.
All I knew is what I knew from the title, which is... it was about a severed arm.
The title is The Severed Arm.
Yes. Stupid title.
But, man.
But decent horror, like, you know, kind of B-movie shit.
It's, I'd say it's what's called a proto-slasher. Because, like, slasher movies weren't really around at this point. But it sort of follows, like, a slasher movie plot.
I would say it's kind of like a slasher movie before slasher movies yeah. were like a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a slasher movie, yes, but it's not as like gory or like not as insane kills as like...
yeah, which is oddly enough one of my only complaints.
Right, that doesn't have the crazy killing stuff.
Yeah, especially considering the title.
The only one that kind of got me was the one at the end.
Yeah, that was...
that was pretty crazy.
Unexpected.
But, I mean, more on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was... it's interesting because, like, you think it's going to be bad, but then it's kind of...
then it's not.
They had really good atmosphere, which is crazy.
Yeah, which
like
goes
I was
a long way.
Not expecting that in, like, this kind of movie, especially from how cheaply it, like, made it looks.
Oh, it's very cheap.
It looks very cheap, but it's effective. It's kind of weird.
The cheapness almost adds to it.
It kind of does in a way, I think.
It's inspirational.
Yeah. So yeah, let's I guess get into our critique and our review of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we start out with a morgue, and it's a guy, like, it just doesn't show the guy, but there's, like, a body laying on, a cadaver laying on a gurney. And some shadowy figure drapes his, like, you know, pulls back the cloth and everything.
And you see the arm.
And you see his arm fall out, over the gurney. And this shadowy figure chops it off. And the arm falls to the floor.
It falls to the floor, and you get the credits.
And that's when we see the severed arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Message.
Rubber arm falls down, and yeah, we get our opening credits. And I just want to say right off the bat that I really dig the soundtrack.
I did too. It was kind of like a synthy horror.
But like, before, because by this point, I mean, it's 1973, so these kind of soundtracks weren't really a thing at all.
Right, and like... that's what I was kind of, like, saying. Like, this, it sounded like something from an 80s horror movie.
Yeah, very 80s.
Which was kind of crazy. Because all the other ones have, like, kind of orchestral scores.
Yeah.
Like, all of their horror movies from the 70s that I know of.
Yeah.
Have a more, like, kind of, like, instrumental thing going on. This one had more of a synthesized thing.
And I dig it.
Which is great. I liked it.
I dig the shit out of the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Alright, so we see the guy pick up, the shadow figure pick up the arm, and then we see a mailman picking up a bunch of packages.
So and one of them is wrapped up very much like a...
it looks like a box, but it's as long as an arm.
Yes.
So you're like, oh, they must be doing something like that, you know? Like, it must be something to the effect of that. Because we see him, we see the shadowy figure kind of wrap it in burlap and then like tie something around it and ship it off. So the postman delivers the mail. And we get our first character who's on the phone with someone.
Yeah, and grabs the mail, opens it up as he's on the phone, and when he opens it up, he just drops it out of, like, horror because it's an arm.
Right. Now, this guy was my least favorite actor of the entire film because his acting is very wooden.
You mean because he has the best reactions?
He has no reaction. He's like, oh! Oh! I gotta call the police. Like, that is not the reaction of someone who just got mailed a fucking severed arm.
Oh, I disagree. That is exactly the reaction I would have.
Just stone cold.
Stone cold. Just oh.
Oh. Or,
I gotta make a call.
Ah, fuck, not again. Come on.
Fucking pranksters.
Jesus. So he calls he doesn't call the police. He calls his friend, the doctor.
Yeah.
Because he knows exactly who shipped it. They're talking about, like, oh, like, is this guy? And he's like, it must be, like, this is...
Yeah.
He's getting revenge for whatever.
It's been... For what happened.
Yes. So he goes to his doctor friend, and the doctor friend kind of talks to him.
They have a flashback.
So they talk about how, like, it's been 5 years since this crazy incident happened. And, you know, they kind of regret it, and they, like, are thinking that this is why this arm was mailed to this guy. So, like, what could it be? And they're like, oh, it probably is this.
Yeah.
So, that, when they say, oh, it's probably, you know, like, what happened 5 years ago, then we get that, like, water effect, ripple effect.
That's how you know it's a flashback. Anytime a movie does that, you know you're going back in time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the sign.
It's the greatest fade
everyone for knows. A flashback. Just everyone knows it's a flashback. But yeah, we get a flashback and it's these guys and it's all these... It's the doctor and this guy and a bunch of other people.
I think they're spelunking. I'm not 100% sure, but it's...
They are on a 2-week spelunking trip.
Yes.
And... But we were confused because they were dressed up like construction workers.
Right.
Whatever. So they find a mine. Looks like a mine, but it's just like a straight drop from the top.
Yeah.
On the smallest rope.
Thinnest rope I've ever seen for like cave exploration.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
I'm assuming they just bought the first rope they found.
So they all go down into this cave and then they're gathering rock samples, I guess.
Okay.
I don't understand, like, what exactly is going on.
This is the weakest part of the movie. Because they're, like, in there, and then they're like, okay, let's get some samples and get out. Why? And what? I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't know.
But what I do know is that one of them, Madman Herman...
Yes.
Starts chipping away at, like, the foundation.
Well, and the guy had mentioned before that it wasn't, like, very stable, right?
Yeah, that,
like,
there was already a cave-in.
Yeah. So, our Madman Herman friend, like you said, starts chipping away at the foundation of the entire cave.
And he's like, well, we're getting some samples.
You know, makes a kind of a joke about it, and then, of course... They have a cave-in.
It caves in.
Cave-in! And then, like, it caves in. Like, cave-in! As it zooms in on this guy's face. Zooms in on his
face. That was, yeah.
Alright. So, we get a scene. They all cave in, and they're, like, they come to this, like, clearing in the cave. Where they can all, like, and they only have a limited amount of water.
Yeah, and they don't have any food.
Right.
So, they're, like, talking, and one of them's like, well, no one's gonna look for us, because we told them we'd be gone for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have to wait for 2 weeks, essentially.
So, then we get a kind of flash forward to them at a seven-day mark.
Yeah, and they're worse, but not full madman stage.
Yeah.
But then it flashes forward to 2 weeks, and they all look like crazy people.
Well, it's weird because I don't remember them having like full beards, and like now they have all full, like full thick
beards. They have like thick beards, their hair is messed up, and their skin is like all really pale.
Grayish and yeah. stuff. So, I mean, I get the yeah. grayish part, but like, I don't know about you, but my beard hair does not grow that fast.
Well, these men just have so much testosterone, Will.
It's true.
That they grow fucking caveman beards in 2 weeks.
They do.
But yeah, they all look crazy. Absolutely crazy. And
so one of the guys yeah. that kind of starts going crazy, and he's like, well, we need to figure out a way to survive because I'm not going to die down here.
At the 7 day mark, I believe it was, he mentioned, like, he was like, yeah, there's a short story of these sailors that get lost at sea. You know how they survive? One guy's is like, fish. He's like, nope. Cannibalism.
Yep.
So he goes, at the 2 week mark, starts talking about that again.
Right. And then.
But he proposes that they don't, like, kill the person.
Right.
That they eat a part of him.
He proposes that they all draw straws, and whoever gets the shortest straw decides which limb
yeah.
they're going to cut off so they can eat that yes. limb.
And, there's, you know, it takes a while to, like, convince everybody. Because at first it's just him, and then one another person is like, yeah, it's survival. And then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all convinced. They do it.
They finally get to the crazy point, and he, like, rips a bunch of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, different pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And he hands them to each of the guys. And they all... It's this kind of tense scene of them all drawing straws. Well, straws. I say, like, paper.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be, yeah.
And then, finally, one of the guys draws the shortest piece of paper. And starts, you know... I think anyone would. Starts freaking the fuck yeah, out.
But that's not it. Because they jump on him.
Oh, they forget everything about, like... You know, making the guy choose his limb or anything like that. They just attack him.
One of them even yells as he's attacking him, your life is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
I'm like, did they forget about, like...
Yeah, they did.
Not to sound like Palpatine here, but what about democracy?
Fuck democracy. Fuck it.
Apparently, like, just goes out the window when they're like, oh, yeah. we can actually cut off his whatever.
But then he, like, convinces them, like, just give him more time, give him more time.
So they kind of let him go, and they're like, okay, like maybe we went a little yeah. crazy. Sorry. Yeah, our bad. We're just well, hungry. Fine
because that's fine, because he gives them a reason. They're all sleeping. He wakes up, takes a giant rock.
Now, this is the one scene of the entire movie that I think I didn't really understand why exactly this transgressed.
I know why. It's called plot convenience.
Well, okay, fine, you got me there.
The magic of plot convenience. So he wakes up, he takes a rock, and he just, like, drops it on the guy next to him.
Yeah.
And hurts him. Pretty bad.
Yeah, and the guy's like, he tried to kill me! He tried to kill me! So then they just go all fucking insane. They're like,
fuck it. They knock him out, and they cut his arm off.
Yep.
Now, plot convenience. They needed a reason, I guess, to, like... have them cut off his arm just immediately without even, like,
yeah.
questioning it.
Right.
And that's what they came up with, I guess.
Now, even more plot convenience and kind of a big fuck you to the entire the entire operation.
Mm-hmm.
Right the, like, second after they cut off the guy's mm-hmm. arm, the rescue team starts coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit.
Yep. So they wow. didn't even get a chance to feast.
Nope, they didn't even get a chance to eat his arm.
And
they have to quickly come up with a reason, like,
yeah.
why, because they're like, all have their reputations on the line, apparently.
Yeah.
And
their big explanation that they came up with is that his arm got hurt in the cave-in, and they had to amputate it.
Right.
And that he was, like, he lost his mind in there.
Yeah.
So they take him, a fake ambulance shows up.
It's a van that's decorated like an ambulance with, like, two fake sirens on either side.
Yes, but it's not even decorated like an ambulance because it's green.
Right. It doesn't look like an ambulance
at all. You ever see a green ambulance?
Well, it also doesn't have any markings. It's just, it's literally...
And there's, like, a couch in it. Remember?
Yeah.
In the back.
So, they start putting the guy that has the amputee
mm-hmm.
into the quote-unquote ambulance.
Yeah.
And he's like, I told you to wait. I told you to, like, reconsider.
I'll never forget
this. I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
I'll remember.
And, well, someone doesn't forget this.
And, end flashback.
End flashback.
So the the doctor and him are talking about how they thought he was in, like, a mental institution. Mm-hmm. And how he, I guess, got out.
Yeah.
And,
Well, they released him.
Yeah.
Somehow. And, but they decide that they need to meet up with all the other guys.
Right, all the other survivors that got out of the cave. So, they're meeting up, and
they're immediately like, why the hell did you call the cops that you got a severed arm in the mail?
Right, and then, like, just in the cave, just like in the cave, they're like, well, all of our reputations are on the line. Like, I'm an actor, and I'll never get roles if and this like, gets out.
You'll never get a radio show. You'll never get this.
Like, one of them, one of them's, like, a contractor, and he's like, how many homes are you going to sell if, you know, if this news gets out?
Or,
you know, how many radio listeners are you going to get? So they kind of justify it like that, like, that's why they don't call the cops, which I don't know. I guess it makes sense, but...
It is what it is.
But, so we see them talking, and we get a scene of a guy holding an axe.
Watching them.
And he's, like, trying all the windows to see if they open. And
he gets inside as they're still talking and, like, slowly walks upstairs.
And, like, tries to open the door to his, like, to the doctor's wife's, like, bedroom. And it's locked. And you made the observation, like, who locks their bedroom door. Yeah. But maybe she's glad she did now.
Apparently. But then he gets in.
Yeah, well, and then the doctor comes immediately in, even though the guy, the axe guy, was just there. Did he come through a different door or something? I have no idea. I don't know. But anyway, so the axe murderer goes away, apparently, and the doctor, like, tells his wife, like, they'll be gone soon, and then we can, you know, he wants to fuck, so.
She's reading
a,
The Psycho Lover?
Yes.
He's like, well, we can skip the psycho part and get to the lover part.
Yeah, smooth.
Smooth shit. This guy's
a smooth talker.
Well,
So he's...
Rest in peace for that.
They never... Yeah, we'll go into it after, but... so he's leading them all out and saying goodbye, and, like, the sheriff leaves, and he's like...
He's not a sheriff, he's like a...
Oh, he's like a deputy or something.
He's a detective.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And the detective goes out, and then... So the doctor closes the door.
Turns off the lights.
He hears this weird laughing.
Yeah. Like, and then he looks back, and you just see, like, a pair of shoes, like, illuminated.
And then you hear...
I'll admit, pretty fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty creepy moment.
Decently creepy,
And then he just, like, freaks the fuck out, understandably.
Well, yeah, and he goes upstairs, grabs a gun, and, like, that's a normal reaction, but, like, he grabs a gun and goes downstairs and is like, Ted, where are you? Ted's the guy, the amputated guy.
And he's looking at the shoes, and he's, like, looking at them. He keeps telling him, like, come on out, I won't hurt you, all this other stuff. And then...
He's walking down the stairs, and the guy reaches through the stairs and trips him down the stairs. And then proceeds to hack away at his arm with an axe.
Yep.
And it shows, like, the bloody axe, and it shows the guy laying on the ground and, like, the axe coming down. It doesn't show it connecting with the arm, but it's pretty effective. You know what he's doing. Like, it's not incoherent. You actually know what he's doing.
It's a good scene.
So...
Pretty good camera, like, camera angles and stuff, too.
Like, the shot they show of him, like, falling down the stairs is that weird, like, it's, like, looking up...
It's a shot of, like, him, like, walking down.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's looking upwards, and it's, like, it's dark.
And the guy actually falls towards the camera, which I thought, like, looks pretty cool. So, I don't know. It's effective, surprisingly. Like, again, it's weird to sing praises in this podcast. Like, I don't want to, but goddamn it, this one actually wasn't that bad.
Sometimes you have to.
So, let's see. I got my notes here.
He's in the hospital.
Right.
And they're there, and they're you know, talking the same thing.
So they lie to the wife and say, like, they don't know who would do this. And yeah. They, like, they're not going to call the cops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or that, like, the detective said he got... He's like, the main investigator on this case. Yeah, he
tells them, I'm working on the case.
So, we get a scene. So, they lie to the wife and, you know, everything goes on as normal. And then the guy, one of the guys is in his...
We should call him the main character.
The main character. He is kind of the main character because a lot of shit happens to him, so...
He goes home.
And starts taking a shower.
Sort of. I say sort of.
Now, it's his home, but it changes scenery, like, 4 or 5 times.
Yes, because every time they show this house, quote-unquote, it looks different. Mm-hmm. In this scene, it looks like a hotel room.
Yeah.
Because you walk in, there is the bedroom and the bathroom to the right. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
It's a hotel room. But so, he goes in the shower.
Yep, he starts getting ready in the shower, and we see the guy, the axe guy... Because it just shows him with a hand, like, it shows the guy in a suit with a hand, with, it, like, an axe in his hand.
Yeah.
So we have the axe, the hand, and then the suit arm, and that's pretty much all we see almost the entire movie until the end. Which is kind of cool, because they didn't reveal, like, who it was at all.
And he goes in, he walks into the bathroom, and knocks the main character out.
Yeah, he shoves him against the tile, and knocks him out, and then the next scene is the guy waking up, and
he leaves a message.
So the guy wakes up, turns off the shower, he, like, gets up, and then on the mirror of his bathroom is just written, next.
Yeah.
So, so the guy obviously freaked out, goes to the detective guy, and is like, we gotta find where he lives. Like, we gotta find, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
So their closest connection to this guy is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go find the daughter.
They talk to her. She's not giving them much information, but she tells them, like, can we talk somewhere else? And then she tells them to meet me at a lounge.
Yes.
Hotel lounge. Which I'm like, okay, that literally never happens, but whatever.
Well, it doesn't, but I guess it again, it drives the plot along. Yeah.
So they leave, and then main character is, like, talking to him. He's, like, complaining to him, like, you missed your opportunity to possibly catch him. Like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I don't have a search warrant, and it's not my jurisdiction.
Yeah, like, they use actual things that will probably happen.
And I'm like, oh, that's convenient.
So, they drive to this place where they're going to meet up with the daughter.
Yeah.
And they're waiting, and they're like, oh, she's not showing up. And then, of course,
she shows up.
And they talk about, like, they talk about, like, kind of, like, where he was at after everything happened.
And whether he's talked about them at all.
And this guy's gone totally, like, apparently, Ted... The guy who's got his arm cut off went totally batshit insane after everything happened.
And he's been in and out of hospitals.
Yep, and she said for, like, 2 years he talked about them all the time.
Yeah.
And then he was starting to get normal and then saw that, like, the doctor was in the newspaper because he saved a life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then went crazy and just became totally AWOL and kind of an invalid, apparently. So... They talk to the daughter a little bit more about all that stuff, and then they go back to the
main character's house,
which is now completely different now.
Layout number 2.
Yep, and they talk about, like, a plan to catch Ted.
That they have to... Well, I don't remember what the first plan was. Because it was after this, at some point, that they decided they need to bait him, right?
Right. So this plan was they were going to lure him out... I can't remember how they were going to lure him out, but they were going to try and, like, lure him out some way.
Yeah.
And they didn't... apparently it doesn't work. But while they're talking, we see a guy, the arm guy, walk to the detective's car and flatten his tire.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
The detective is like, oh, it's getting late, I have to go home. So he goes out, he sees his tire's flat... He goes, opens his trunk, and gets attacked. But he fights him off.
Yeah, the detective, like, defends himself with a tire iron and, you know...
Even shoots at him, but doesn't hit him.
The guy gets away. So, then, after that, they decide that they're going to use the daughter as bait.
Yeah.
So, they he goes back in, says, like, hey, I just got attacked by Ted. And is like, we need to hatch a plan right now.
Yeah. And their plan is they're going to use the daughter as bait.
Right.
So they talk to her. She's not convinced. They take her to see the doctor, who is in the hospital because his arm got chopped off. She becomes convinced. The plan is that she is going to spend the night with the main character.
Yes. Or make it look like she is, like, sleeping with the main character.
The ultimate insult.
The ultimate betrayal. I should mention the main character is the guy that chopped off his arm. The guy's arm. All the other ones watched and held him down.
Yeah.
But this guy actually did it.
So not only did he take his arm, he took his daughter.
That is the pure definition of insult to injury. Adding insult to injury. Sleeping with the daughter of the guy. Of the, that's with the plot arm of, you chopped off.
That's the plot of an entirely different movie, Will.
That's some extreme fucking revenge shit right there. So
they do that. They go there, and it keeps cutting between the main character and the daughter, and the DJ, their friend,
the Madman Herman.
Yeah, which my theory is that he is gay.
So, they show him very effeminate, and he has, like, a purse. I don't know if he's gay or just, like, very effeminate.
Or they just made him extremely effeminate.
But they don't really, like, mention it. So, I mean, it's not a big deal.
If
he is gay, this is one of the most progressive 70s movies I've ever seen. Because they don't ever, like, make fun of him.
They don't make fun of him.
Which, a lot... I should put that into context. Not that they should make fun of, like, people of a certain sexual orientation. I'm saying for the 70s, it was still considered very weird to be gay. So, like, in a lot of 70s movies, unfortunately, they make fun of gay people a lot. They make fun of gay people, they make fun of, like, black people. 70s was a weird time.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's the context. We're not saying that they should have made fun of him. It's just weird to see a 70s movie with a gay man where they don't make fun of him.
Yeah. Or even mention it.
Yeah.
But... that's our theory.
That's my theory, just because he acted like a stereotypical 70s gay man.
Yeah. And he is their gay friend. It's a very progressive friend group.
I mean, it works.
And he's a DJ who works very late. So he's going on his, like, lunch break.
Yeah, he goes to lunch and his car won't start.
Well, before this, I want to mention, because there's a... So he's leaving, and he goes talks to the janitor?
Yeah, and he talks about how, like, oh, like, so, come on, do me this one favor. And the janitor's like, I'm not doing you any favors. What have you done for me?
He's like, I gave you that autographed picture of me naked, didn't I? And then, like, he leaves. But I don't quite get this scene. It's supposed to be funny.
It was like, so there's a few scenes in this movie where they have, like, a weird attempt at humor.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, stay horror. Like,
complete with, like, comedy music.
So these are the only parts where the movie actually lost me.
Yeah.
Like, where I was like, okay, just get on with it. We don't care about the, like, the humor.
Well, it's not even humorous. Like, we were just confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing is just, like, creepy atmosphere. And then suddenly it's, like, weird... I don't know, sex jokes?
Yeah.
I don't know. But he leaves. He's walking down the street, and he's being followed.
It takes him so fucking long to get to his car.
Oh, he parks far.
Yeah. Apparently the parking garage is like 2 blocks away from where his studio is.
He can't start his car.
So he can't start his car, and then probably the weirdest scene I've ever seen in a 70s movie happens where... So a guy pulls up. And he's like, hey, man, like, what's wrong? And the Madman Herman's like, oh, my car won't start. And he's like, hey, like...
He's like, You can take my car.
Yeah, take my car. Just park it and leave the keys on the dash.
Like, what?
It's like, I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Yeah.
Ever.
How friendly?
A little too friendly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the guy's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And then, so he takes off with the car, and we get, like, the scene of, like, the guy just holding the axe, like, you know, kind of spying on him, seeing where he's going.
So.
And then it cuts back to the main guy and the daughter talking about the plan. And they're saying, like, oh, sorry.
They get a phone call.
Right.
And it's Ted. He's, like, telling him, like, you've taken everything from me.
Now you have my daughter, too, or whatever.
Yeah. And, I don't remember what he tells him. Oh, he's like, what the fuck does he tell him? He tells him, like, I will, like, make it so that no woman will ever love you.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, like, very threatening.
Yeah. And that's done. And then,
then he calls into the, radio station.
So Herman is back to work. And he calls in there, and he requests a song.
Be Seeing You.
Be Seeing You. So he requests that. Some more shit happens. He
calls in again. I will mention that the radio guy said a really hilarious joke that I...
Beauty and obese.
Yeah, he was like, don't call me, stay away from me, and don't ever see me again. Or the Disney, from the Disney original movie, Beauty and Obese. I don't know why that caught me off guard, but it did.
It caught me off guard too, and I could not stop laughing.
It was pretty hilarious. It was good. I will admit. Like, that was the only like attempt at humor that they actually got
me. Yeah.
So.
But he keeps like doing his DJ shtick and getting phone calls, and eventually he figures out who it is.
Right.
That it's Ted. And so he calls the operator to trace the call.
Right. And they say next time he calls in, just have us on the line so we can trace the call and see where he's coming from.
So he calls in again, and they trace the call. And they tell him that the calls are coming from the radio station.
I just want to mention before you describe the rest of the scene, they play this weird, like synthesized alarm sound.
Yes.
And it's pretty effective at like gaining the tension.
Like as soon as she tells him like the calls are coming from inside the radio station, the like alarm synthesizer music starts going off.
Yeah. It's kind of effective. I was like, "Wow, okay, that's it made things more tense, which is great."
No, it's good. And he's trying to do his like radio thing and he can't because he's freaking the fuck out.
Well, I think he even says at one point because he's recording on the station and he says there's someone in the station.
Yeah, because he keeps saying like this is Herman and he'll like stop and he does it again and eventually he's just like there's someone in here. And then you see because he's like so the way it's set up is like he's at the what do you want to call it the stuff.
It's like the recording booth.
Yeah.
So it's like where you play all your music and like record your voice.
So he's sitting at that and then in front of it is like a giant like window into the room. And so the axe guy is behind the window, like slowly approaching.
Well, and Herman keeps saying like, oh, like I didn't go along with it. I told him not to do it and all this stuff. I was trying to like bargain with the guy.
And he just breaks the glass in slow motion. And Herman freaks the fuck out, and it cuts. And you find out that he's dead.
Yep.
He killed him.
Mm-hmm. So they go to find one of the other guys, Bill, at the he has a lumber yard.
This fucking idiot.
This guy's a dumbass. This guy's a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like one of those classic things where in a horror movie they're like, yo, like, let's stay together. No, we should separate and go our separate ways. And
we
like
should separate and go down the dark, that dark path.
Strength in numbers is not a thing in horror movies. Shit.
So fuck that. Because they're telling him, like, we have to stick together. He's like, oh no, you've got me in trouble like this. I'm not sticking with you.
Well, and he keeps saying, like, I got a gun. Like, that's going to protect me.
That's
like,
you should get a gun. And I'm not sticking with you.
Really? Because the doctor had a fucking gun. Look what happened to him.
He got fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, even... Okay, take your gun. At least there's three of you.
Yeah, so Bill is, like, totally against it. He's like, no, you know what? No, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to survive by my own.
Yeah.
You should get yourself a gun and protect yourself.
Like, so they're like, okay, well, lost cause. And then he gets a phone call at... I guess he's at home.
So it's later at night.
He's at home. Gets a phone call telling them that there's a fire at the lumber yard.
Yes.
But apparently the guy on the other line won't identify himself.
Right.
So, because eventually he's like, who is this? And then it just hangs up.
So I was expecting a... Because literally Bill fell for the oldest trick in the book.
We just mentioned they did another awkward comedy scene.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's in the elevator. While Bill's going to investigate.
He's in his elevator in his like apartment going down to the garage. And he's like freaking out. And like... A woman with a big dog gets in the elevator and is like, the dog is like really freaking out, and then Bill is just like backed in the corner freaking out for
He's like stressing out about something.
For some reason?
I don't know.
And then the next floor they go down, it opens up again.
And an old woman steps
and
on.
And it's like he's even more nervous, and then they all get off. But it's just like, what's the joke?
I don't know, because it's even playing that like cheery like...
Yeah. Do, 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 wacky do, 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 do. Comedy music.
It's so
like, what's the fucking joke?
I don't understand.
I don't know.
That's why this movie, it shouldn't... It's good, but they should stay away from, like, comedy stuff like that, because it totally takes me out of the movie. I'm just like, there's no reason for this to be in here. Why did you do it?
And it's just weird.
Yeah, it's just weird and not effective.
Yeah.
Like, at least if you're going to have, like... kind of break the tension with, like, comedic stuff. Make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Make it fucking funny.
No, it's like... God, it's like a Monty Python skit or something, but bad.
No, like a... Yeah, I was gonna say, like, a bad Monty Python skit.
Yeah. Like, the dude is in an elevator, and he's, like, okay.
Whatever. Like, if, like, a clown stepped onto the... I don't know. Like
they should have done that.
A clown or a guy with one arm.
It should have been, like, a 10-story apartment.
Yeah.
And then each floor is this... like... It ramps up.
No, it should be, like, you know, like, a woman. And then, like, it just gets more and more ridiculous
and
as he goes down.
A clown. A midget. I don't know. Adolf Hitler.
Like a guy in a gorilla suit. Like, I don't know. Like, just, if you're gonna...
Keep going.
If you're gonna do comedic scenes... Go all out for him. Make him funny.
Just keep going ridiculous.
I'm all for, like, you know, breaking the tension with comedy.
Just halfway through the movie, turn it into, like, Kentucky Fried movie.
There you go.
For no reason.
So Bill walks right into the fucking trap.
Yeah, he drives to the lumberyard.
He drives to the lumberyard.
There's no fire.
Probably sees that there's no fire and still goes into the lumberyard to investigate. So he's looking around the lumberyard and he hears the arm saw on.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to get his arm chopped off right here.
That would have been awesome.
But he does not.
He turns it off and runs the fuck away. Runs home. But it's fine because Ted got them teleporting powers.
Apparently.
So he goes back to his apartment. He's taking the elevator up. And it each floor, it stops and opens the door.
Yeah,
and it's like
we're supposed to assume that Ted is pressing each one of them,
and it keeps like the doors opening, and it's like it keeps like building the tension, because each time the door opens, you think that like something's gonna happen. So it finally gets to the last floor, and Ted just runs in and kills him.
Now again, you only see an arm with an axe, because he's only supposed to have one arm,
and so. We do see that he has like a stump.
Yeah,
yeah, for his other arm. So he kills him too. Because the main character, the daughter was on the phone with, Ted, and she tells the detective and the main character that, like, he's going to meet Bill. He's going to Bill's house.
Yeah.
So, the main character immediately runs there and, like, opens the elevator and he sees the dead body.
Yeah, Bill's on the ground.
And the arm is, like, cut off and everything.
So then it cuts to a scene of where the daughter is saying that Ted called her back and wants to meet with her. And so...
They're going to meet at the beach.
So the main character and the detective are like, you know, see an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this is where we're going to get Bill. Like, he either needs help or we need to stop him right here. So We get a scene of them driving, and so the main character is talking with the daughter, and is like, well, like, you know, we don't want to kill him, but we also know he needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we might have to take those measures in a way. So, the daughter is like, you know, all this stuff, like, don't kill him, and he's like, he's not going to go for this because he thought I was coming alone. And
if when he sees me with you, like, who knows what'll happen.
Right. And the main character is like, oh, well, someone's following us already.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it must be the detective.
And he's like, no, the detective is already at the beach. So they get there. The detective is like, okay, it's like a beach, and then there's a cliff, like, overlooking it. And the detective is on the top of the cliff with a sniper rifle.
Yeah. He means business.
Well,
he means business, but so did Ted.
Yes, because they are down there waiting, and then Ted walks up to him, and we get the best death scene in the movie, where he, like, incapacitates the detective, and they look up there, and they're like, what the hell is going on? And they just see him, and then, like, his body drops. Yeah. But we see that it's attached to a rope, and I was my first assumption was he's going to hang him. That was my assumption.
Nope.
Well. So, he keeps dropping. You see the rope, like, extending out. And then it, like, snaps. And you see his arm get ripped off.
Yep, his arm gets ripped off and it's just hanging on the rope.
Pretty graphic, I might say.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
So then, of course, in typical horror movie fashion, the main character is freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, and he almost gets run over by Ted.
Yeah.
So, he kind of evades him. The daughter
picks him up
and tells him that she's going to take him to his her brother's cabin, right?
Right. Yeah. Because the main guy's like, just take me anywhere. I just need to get away from Ted. Because he doesn't want to die.
How dare he? How he's so entitled, Will.
But they saved the best for last because he's the one that actually chopped off his arm.
Yes.
So they drive to the cabin where their brother is supposed to be, and like the main characters think he's like, well, Ted's gonna find us there.
And she tells him that he doesn't know about this place.
Yep. So then the main character gets out and is like, hey, like, what were you talking about in this place? Like, all this stuff. Like, I thought your brother wasn't supposed to be here. And then she points a gun at him.
She points a gun at him and she's like, there's someone I want you to meet. And he thinks it's Ted and he, like, runs at him and knocks him out.
Yep. And then as Ted knocks him out, he zooms up on him and it's the son.
He takes off his mask and it's her brother.
Yep.
And, yeah.
He unbuttons the coat and, like, puts his arm through and has two arms.
What a twist!
They got him!
Got him, boy!
Wow. Like, yeah. I actually, like, was, you know, I wasn't like, oh my god! But I was like, I was kind of surprised at that.
Because you kind of jokingly guessed it.
Right? I think I said it right before.
You said it, like, literally a minute before it happened.
I'm like, what if it's the siblings?
Yeah. What if he's, like, because we were talking, and I was just, like, thinking, like, part of me thinks, like, it can't be that simple.
Right.
There's gonna be a twist. And then you said, like, well, maybe it's the siblings.
Yeah, because they hadn't shown the brother at this point. Yeah,
they hadn't shown him, so we wouldn't have known. Well, there you go.
So, we get a scene of the daughter and the son walking into where Ted is.
Yeah.
And Ted is totally just an invalid. He's, like, not moving, he's not blinking.
He's not even, yeah, he's not...
He's not dead, but he's not very much alive either.
He's not participating at all.
No. So he's just laying there and they're like, we got something to show you. This will make you better. This will make everything okay.
Yeah. So they take him in a wheelchair and he's still not reacting at all. And they take him down to like this fucking dungeon.
Yeah. And it's like this hallway with this like iron rod like door.
Like a dungeon door.
Yeah.
And they open like this little like window into the room and it's the main character and he's in there and he's like freaking out and they tell him that Basically, he's starving, and they tell him that there's only one thing he can do. Because he was the one who cut Ted's arm off, he was the one who did it. That basically, if he wants to survive, he has to cut his own arm off.
Cut his own arm off.
So there's like a little like compartment thing in the room, and they tell him to reach in there. He reaches in there, and there's a knife like wrapped up like a present.
And he also tries to plead with Ted because they bring Ted along, and he tries to be like, Ted, like, wake up. They don't, like, don't let them do this whole stuff.
Yeah, well, until he sees him.
Yeah.
Because at first he's like, Ted, I know you hear me. Like, don't do this. And then he looks through the window and he looks down and he sees Ted is in the wheelchair. And he's, like, not... He's not, whatever... What's that fucking word? Cognizant?
Yeah, cognizant, yeah.
So he's not paying attention at all. He's like a vegetable, essentially.
Yeah.
And he's just like... He's just like, what are you doing? He doesn't even understand. Like, you killed three people for no reason. And they're like, no, you don't understand. He's gonna... We'll still make everything fine.
Yeah.
And so he freaks out. And... Yeah. They,
And then they just show the two siblings and Ted. And the daughter kisses Ted's head. And then it ends.
Roll credits.
He doesn't show the guy cutting his arm off, and we know what happened.
We know what happens, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Like, I was not expecting to like this much. Because the poster looks dumb.
Oh, the poster is...
It is dumb.
It's not even worth...
I mean, you'll see it on our website, but it is dumb.
It's not even worth mentioning.
No.
It's dumb. And it's cheap. Like, I was... I don't know. I had no expectations. I knew very little about it. I just...
Listen, going into any movie on this podcast, I have very low expectations for all these movies.
I just knew that it was cheap.
It was cheap, but I actually didn't hate it.
I liked it.
Would I ever buy this movie? Hell no.
Probably not.
If anyone wanted to watch it again, I might watch it with them, but that's about it. I would never want to own this movie, but it is surprisingly good for, like, a bad 73 movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of respectable stuff in it.
I think so.
It's well... I don't know. It has a kick-ass atmosphere.
I love horror movies with atmosphere.
Because, like, I'm a slasher movie fan. And I like that sort of... dark and gloomy, like, dread.
One, like, you have in the it movies. Helps that it was filmed mostly at night.
It's mostly
like,
at
every
night.
Every scene is almost at night. Yeah.
It's at night, and there's, like... And it's actual nighttime.
Yeah.
Not day for night.
No, actual nighttime. Actual nighttime.
And it just feels like... Like, there's no help. Because, like, they set it up, like, we can't go to the cops. So it's, like... The whole movie, there's just this atmosphere of, like, there's no help.
There's no hope, yeah.
There's no hope. It's just, like, dread. Mm-hmm. And it pulls it off really well.
I think so.
It's pretty admirable.
It's kind of a ridiculous plot, I'll agree.
Yeah.
But, like, it works. It works for, like, what they were trying to do.
It works in its own, like, logic.
Yes.
It's not... There were no moments where we're just, like... scratching our heads being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and like in a podcast where we get confused a lot by certain like gaping plot holes, there wasn't much, so that was a good thing. I don't know. I enjoyed this one. That's my final thoughts. Like, I kind of enjoyed it for what it was. Is it like anything like remotely close to like a favorite movie? No, but I think it is a contender for my best for 73.
It, unless, I mean, we got a couple more left, but this might end up my favorite one.
Might be.
Because it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's just admirable what you can pull off with nothing.
Yeah.
With nothing.
It just goes to show, like, you can still create horror with a low budget.
Because even with, like, the acting is eh.
Well, okay. The acting's not that great, but...
But it's not bad. It's not bad enough to the point where you can't, like, take it seriously.
Right.
It's okay, but it's just enough to where, like, I can believe it.
Yeah.
Just enough.
I'd agree. So, anything else to add for your final thoughts?
No.
I don't think so. I think we've gone over everything I liked about the movie.
Kick-ass soundtrack.
Great synthesized soundtrack, especially for an early 70s movie. That's almost unheard of.
I dig it.
I really loved it. The atmosphere was great. Acting wasn't that awesome. Story could have been a little stronger, to be honest.
Oh, I guess my one complaint. It's kind of... I know it's not technically a slasher movie because this is way before, like, Halloween and all that stuff. But there's, like, no goddamn blood in this.
No. There's a little blood on the axe when he's cutting off the doctor's hand, but that's about
it. That's, like, my only real complaint is that more would have been cooler. But,
My only complaint is if you're going to add comedy to your horror movies, do it right.
I would say... just take those scenes out.
Take those scenes out and it would have been an okay movie.
Because you don't gain anything from them. And you wouldn't lose anything if you took them out.
So true. And that's my main complaint is just like, there didn't need to be those scenes. Like, stop trying to... I get you're trying to break the tension with comedy, mm-hmm. but there's better ways to do it.
The one shining grace of that is that there were only two of them.
Yes.
And they were short.
Thank God.
And they were short.
Yes.
Because it could have been like, let's just say that this movie is a million times better than Super Chick.
Oh, God. Yes, this was a piece of shining gold compared to Super Chick, because that was fucking awful. It was fucking horrendous. If you want to watch it for yourself, it is on YouTube. You just search The Severed Arm. It comes up like almost right away, especially if you put The Severed Arm, 1973.
And I'm going to speak for both of us when I say that we recommend it.
Yes.
We recommend it.
I would, completely.
Not even like...
I never thought I'd say this, but yes.
Not in a, like, get drunk with your friends and watch it. Like, no, you can enjoy this movie even if you're sober.
Yes.
Because I think if you're a horror movie fan, and especially if you like, say, low budget... kind of indie horror movies, I think there's a lot for you to enjoy
here. There's a lot of meat here.
Yeah.
Which is great. Just trim a little bit of fat and we're good.
Yeah. That's what we should do. We should take the movie and delete those scenes and just like find the director and be like, hey, we fixed it.
Here's the director's cut, like without the comedy.
We fixed it for you.
Yeah, let's talk about it. If you guys watch it, I'm always on Facebook.
And it's only an hour and 30 minutes.
We're always on Facebook, so you can always talk to us about whatever movies. If you want us to watch any movies that maybe we're skipping, just let us know. Like, we're trying to build this community and trying to get all our listeners involved with what we do. And we're trying to, like, be bigger and better. And, you know, any criticism is always welcome as well. So, anything we could do better. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate all the support. Got a new follower too, which is awesome. We're up to 7 now.
Shout out, homie.
Yeah.
Whatever your name is.
I can't remember, to be honest. I know.
I think it was one of those like gibberish names.
Yeah.
That people think.
But anyway, any support is appreciated, and I know we're kind of small right now. We've only been going for about a half a year, so we really appreciate all the support and all the downloads. So. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. For They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Don't go spelunking.
Beauty and obese. Ka-chunk!